Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, good morning to you all in this breezy, chilly southern Wisconsin weekend. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, where we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sitting in today for part-time Bodie is Jeff Orlovsky, the Polish pipe bomber, as Danny likes to call him.
The Polish rifle.
and if you want to get in touch with us during the show today about questions, comments, or whatever, it's 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can always email us live at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Okay, Danny.
Okay.
Okay.
Not quite all here yet.
Quite a change in weather, huh?
Yeah. But you know, what do we expect?
Yeah,
it's
what
October.
Do we expect? It's Wisconsin, October. Yeah, we're gonna get a change in weather. They said that actually tomorrow there could even be a chance of wintry mix.
So rain or snow. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna cancel my guide job tomorrow.
It's gonna be pretty crappy tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try and postpone that.
Yeah, windy too.
Yeah, the wind is the main thing.
Yeah, that's
you don't want to be out, especially. If you're out on Pewaukee, if they say 10, 15-mile-an-hour winds, pretty much count on 20.
Yeah.
It seems like it accelerates when it comes up through those, over the hill, heading east, coming from the west. It just seems like it picks up steam like a jet stream going through there, man.
Yeah, it does.
And it's good. And I do not like bouncing around in the heavy waves when I'm trying to fish. Now, in my younger days, I used to be out there in anything, right?
Yeah, sure.
I was young and dumb and full of, you know what, and vinegar. Now I'm old and smart and
you know better.
Full of mostly
vinegar.
Mostly crap. Because I'm an old guy and I can talk a lot of nonsense,
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like with weather, we can dress for the weather, whether it's hot or cold, and if it's raining, we got rain gear. I mean, we can dress for all that. The one thing you can't do anything about is the wind. And a lot of times where you want to fish might be right where the heaviest wind is, and you don't want to go there. So you go someplace where it's less windy and it's calmer, but there might not be many fish there.
Well, for years, I'd read the In Fisherman articles about the wind and the muskies, and Dick Pearson, I think, was a big proponent of, zooplankton and a smaller fish if days of sustained wind on a certain shoreline and the predator fish are there. But then I read an article Doug Johnson wrote where he said, look at the pictures of me and most of my 50-inch fish. It's sunny and the water's flat calm. Do I really have to be out there, And sure, there's certain, I realize there's certain situations where that may be true.
Yeah, it is.
True. I mean, but I like to go You know, I'm like the old bull, not the young bull. I like to walk my way down and take, you know, so I'm not out there killing myself when I'm fishing.
Right.
There's plenty of good weather and hunting too.
Hey, you know, I wrote an article once. I wrote a story about, because, you know, I'm not a troller. So, but I wrote an article about let the wind be your friend. And there were times when it was really windy out, right? And I was out on the water. And that's when I trolled because it was pushing the boat along so nicely, you know, that I mean, and pretty quickly,
right.
I'd put the baits out there and just let the wind do it for me, you know.
Speaking of that, one of the tips for trolling, especially if you're by yourself and you got multiple lines out, it's best if there's a, especially a heavy wind for sure, it's best to troll with the wind at your back.
Yeah.
Because if you get a fish on, and let's say you do put the boat in neutral, okay, you're going to be drifting away from the fish. If you got a planer board line out to the side, just the movement of the boat should kind of keep that off.
Yeah,
to
it'll
the side.
Stay out there. Yeah.
As opposed to drifting back on top of the fish and all your crap in your lines. Then
exactly.
You can have problems, especially heavy wind. So there is some strategy involved that a guy starts to learn after a while.
Exactly, exactly. And you mentioned something else. Boy, I can't think of it.
Okay, well,
something to do with the wind.
Those effects of those concussions are.
But you know, I'll tell you with the walleyes, that is definitely a fact. When you have the wind blowing into a certain shoreline, and you have a lake that's got a good walleye population, a lot of them do come to that shoreline, and it's worth fishing in the wind. Oh yeah. Oh, Charlie. Good. I'm glad Charlie called from Jackson. Charlie, he hung up now, right? All right, I'll explain what happened. Last week during the NFL football picking contest, Charlie called to just ask a question about something else. But since he called right at the NFL football picking contest,
he never got to his question.
I don't know if he did or not. I don't remember. But we had him be the contestant. And Charlie won a $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. Well, we never got his name and address because, you know, Nick Bodie didn't know if he was going to be a contestant. He'd never asked him. I was going to mention this during the NFL picking contest. So now we got Charlie's name and address. Charlie, you will be getting your prize.
Jeff, I clearly blame Tom and Bodie on this one.
Yeah.
It was between those two. This guy over here had nothing to do with it, man.
That's right.
First time for everything.
That's why
you're free of blame.
Disclaimer.
That's right.
The prize packages are the sole responsibility of Tom over here.
Yeah,
I got all my certificates out for the Carl's Country Market certificates.
Well, Carl, you got it coming.
Now
I'm
really
there in a few days.
I'm already counting my deer before they've hatched.
Yeah.
And thinking, what am I going to do with my deer this year? And last year, I had Carl's make some of their barbecue sticks.
Yeah. Those were great.
They were the best sticks I've ever had. Like ever.
They were really good.
And I had like this big couple pound thing of it saved in the freezer because I told my fishing buddy that when we go to Door County, like that, you know, first Smalley trip of the year, I'd have these great sticks for the trip. Well, those disappeared because I'd wake up at like 3 a.m. and I'd be, you know, like the rummaging bear, I'd go stumbling in, look in the empty fridge, see nothing there. But then the light would go on in the cranium like, check the freezer. And I'd be chiseling them out. I'd be chiseling hard jackhammer sticks out of the package and putting them in the microwave at 2 a.m. and gnawing on those.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I woke up with half a stick next to my head by the pillow.
I was chastised a little bit. Somebody wrote me. And they had a question. They said, actually several people wanted to know when we talked about smoking fish or game or turkeys, chickens, whatever, about what kind of smoker I use. And I always say, well, I use like a Weber-style grill as a smoker. But I was chastised because I didn't explain fully on how you turn it into a smoker, you know?
Yeah.
And, okay, I'm going to make this real short and easy. You get a cookie cooler rack. One of those little cheap racks. You go to the dollar store, they got those little cookie cooler racks. You know,
you like the little metal ones with holes in them?
not holes, but just they're just lines, you know.
Lines in them?
Yeah, they're just lines,
a
you know. It's just a
cooler rack.
Yeah, it's like a cookie cooler rack, whatever. But you get the cheap one and you cut it so that it fits on the bottom of the grill. And that's where you put your coals. And then the part of the grill that you would put the wood, I mean your coals on, that's where you put your wood. And that sits over the coals. Okay, so you got the cookie cooler rack that sits over the holes.
Why don't you just use the little bottom grill that comes with them?
No, that's where you got to put your wood. You got to put your wood on that. On that.
But there's
part.
Two grills on a Weber grill.
No,
there's the
top,
one for
well,
the coals, and then there's the
put,
one atop one.
That's where you put your meat or fish.
Okay.
The top one. The bottom one where you normally put lay your coals in or on.
That's the wood.
That's where the wood goes. But underneath that, you first put this little cookie cooler
cookie
rack.
Cooler rack.
You cut it so that it's just over those holes.
Well, you
got to
cut it then.
Yeah, cut it so that it fits right, depending on what size you get, you know.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then that's where you put, you know, a dozen coals or so, but then the wood goes over that. Soak the wood ahead of time for like 15 minutes in water so it doesn't just fire up, you know, and it smokes more. But as you're, what, and okay, and if you're doing fish, you got to put the coals and the wood in the middle and put the fish on the outside edges of the grill. Whereas if you're doing meat, then you got to go indirect where you got the coals and the wood off to the side and the meat is on the other side. You got to do that indirect. So, okay, I explained it. That's what you do.
Thanks,
and
Tom.
And
they,
you know, you go to a lot of these garage sales and rummage sales and whatever, and a lot of times people...
There's always a grill.
They're getting rid of old grills for a dollar, you know, or whatever. They just want to get rid of them. And I just save my old grills when they finally die from grilling of regular stuff.
Yeah, fall apart.
I just save them for being a you know, smoker. I've got two of them, as a matter of fact.
I got one laying by our cabin up that's been there for like 6 years.
And tell you, Danny,
disintegrate.
Yeah, it makes a great smoker. Really, it really does.
So I got a brilliant business idea for you, Tom. You could collect old grills, refurbish them, and sell them as smokers.
No, I'll let the people.
Tom,
do that.
Terrifics. Yeah. Smoking grills.
And the other thing is wood. A lot of people.
What kind of wood do you like? Maple, cherry.
Any hardwood. You just can't use pine. No trees with needles. Any tree with leaves,
nope.
any
only
hardwoods.
Deciduous, not coniferous.
Correct. Thank you very much, Mr.
Words,
Danny
huh,
Bush.
Jeff? Jeff's impressed over there.
Too early in the morning for that many syllables,
you know,
brother.
Should have been a biology major.
So anyway, any hardwood is good, but if you can get any fruit-bearing tree or nut-bearing tree wood. Nuts or fruit-bearing tree wood is really great to use, but any hardwood.
Hardwood's always good.
Any hardwood, yeah. And but if you can get like apple wood or a hickory nut wood, you know, whatever. So any hardwood is great. So
the softwood's not good.
No, the pine. No, that's got no. That's not any good. No.
Why?
Any
why is hardwood. It not? Does it? With
it's
the,
got.
Does it make like with the sap and
yeah,
stuff?
Exactly.
It gives
yeah,
your,
yeah.
So it makes
different.
Your makes your meat taste
different.
Like pine sap.
So you know what I'm doing tomorrow, Danny? My son,
like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, you know my son Nick who got that bear.
Yeah.
This week. I don't know. You didn't hear about that,
got a bar.
Jeff. He got a bar.
Got a
last
bar.
Week. Well, anyway, Black he bar. Gave me a hunk of the rump, okay, about a 3-pound hunk of the rump, and he wants me to smoke it.
Best piece of he's had in a long time.
Whatever keeps you warm at night.
So anyway, so tomorrow I'm gonna brine it overnight. Since it's going to be cool out, I can put it in the garage, you know, the brine. You know, with the rump, I'm put that out in the garage. And then tomorrow, I'm going to smoke the heck out of it. See, because with bear meat, it's got to be well done.
Well, I was the one telling you that.
Yeah, I know.
I was the one warning you that the trichinosis.
Well, Nick knew that a long time ago because when his brother-in-law's got a bear and his father-in-law did. Yeah. But that's, I don't know if a lot of people know that. Oh, and he made some bear burgers last week.
Delicious.
Says,
I love the bear burgers.
He said they were
the barbecue
great.
Sauce. I told you I was
making that stuff
in 1988 when I got my Canadian Black Bar.
Yeah, well, this was his first bar.
And it's good for you, too. It's free range.
Yeah.
Right? They're talking about free range meat these days. How much more free range do you get when you're getting your
right out of the woods.
And deer and stuff out of the woods. Of course, they're all still against meat anyway. So,
what's the difference between free range chicken and chicken
eggs and all that?
The steroids.
It's the steroids.
I like the steroids.
I do too.
Yeah.
You know, if it helps me pump a little
I went to Walgreens looking for steroids, you know, that I could, you know, squirt into different things.
I don't think they make a squirt there. You know, people are going to worry about the stuff they put in meat. Yet they're taking all kinds of drugs and everything else themselves in their bodies. They're going to talk about being worried about eating some meat that's
A cow takes a little bit of growth hormone to make more milk, and that's a crisis. But the same guy that's worried about that is taking 47 different prescription drugs.
Right.
Or smoking.
That's exactly right.
Good luck.
Right. Yeah. Give me a break. Yeah.
We got to go. Jeff. Yeah, speaking of giving you a break, we will give you a break, Danny, right now. We got a few commercials to play, got to pay a few bills around here. We're going to be right back with more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. That was, did you hear that? That fuzziness in the in the song?
Sounds like an old-time recording.
I think they got an old 45 that was warped or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That's a good way to ruin a good song.
Oh, goodness me. Well, anyway, Danny, last week I got an email from a fella. He had one of my books. I don't know if you know this, Jeff, but back in 1990, I wrote a book.
I did know.
Yeah, and I wish I knew then what I know now. But anyway, I wrote a book back then. It was, okay. Wasn't that great. But anyway, a guy, our friend Joe in Monaco.
Joe in Monaco.
He's called the show. He's been a contestant on some things, and he's, you know, asked questions. And anyway, Joe in Monaco sent me an email. He said, if I send you your book that I have, will you sign it for me? And I said, well, sure, Joe, of course I will, you know, send it down. So I got it a couple days ago. I put it in the mail. I mailed it back to him. I think it was Thursday. So he should get it today or Monday. One of the two, he should get it. But what was interesting, and I didn't just sign it. I put a nice note in there and whatever.
That's nice.
But this was cute. Inside the book was this little thank you note.
He's got a cute card.
Now listen, this was, I thought this was funny.
It doesn't have flowers on it, does it?
Yeah. And it says,
I don't know if I'd be sharing this, Jeff.
Well, you'll find out why.
Okay.
It says, thank you for bringing excitement to my husband's Saturday, meaning both of us, of course.
Oh, it came from the wife then.
Yeah. Well,
I thought the card with flowers came from the guy.
No. Thank you for bringing excitement.
I'm at ease now.
To my husband's Saturday mornings. I enjoy the show myself. Also, fishing poles are like shoes for women. Thanks for pointing that out. I did point that out on a show. We were talking about fishing rods, and
No, I was the one who pointed it out.
Were you the one who pointed it out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was me. Well,
right
anyway,
away, he's taking credit.
She says, thanks for thanks for pointing that out, she says. I think she says that laughingly, you know. And that's from Mrs. Joseph, and then her last name.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, his wife sends us a nice note, you know.
How much did you charge for that autograph, by the way? Was it? Did you set it up through your PayPal?
Yeah, there you go.
I had a copy of your book, Tom, and what happened was I had all these books, and I went to that half-price books place, you know, where you can turn them in and they give you money for them. Yeah.
What'd you get, a quarter for mine or a nickel?
They paid me a buck just to take the book and leave.
That I can understand. That I can understand, yes.
No, definitely. It's a good book, Tom. I like it. It's especially funny looking at a young Tom Neubauer.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when he sent it and I was sitting there at the kitchen table, and I hadn't gone through it in a long time, you know, and I was just going through it, looking at pictures of the kids when they were young. Well, my youngest son was only like 3 years old at the time, so he wasn't in there. But my other two, Nick and Chris, were in there, and just looking at the different things, you know, and all that, it was interesting just to look at all the old pictures. And then remember, you know, some of the pictures that I had of clients, you know, right. I was out with, and then remembering those people and those that day. And but you know, some of them, I'm looking at it, it's like, I don't remember that day at all. You know, they're holding a muskie, but I guess they caught one, but I don't remember it. You know, so
are some of the people dead now, Tom.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one guy, yeah, there was one fella, yeah, that was in there. He was a good guy. Yeah, so
that's
far,
good.
So
you're
good.
Okay. Well,
about time for a sequel, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it because, you
Fishing
know.
Part two. Good
cause,
job.
Because, you know.
Can I do the forward?
Oh, God, I'd be, I don't know.
Can I do that?
That'd
please,
be scary.
Please.
Can
that'd
I
be
do
scary.
The conclusion?
That'd be scary.
I'll do the forward. The rifle here will do the back of the book, like where they have the back of the book. There we go.
Well, you know, and I'm serious when I say, and I'm sure anybody would agree with me that 30 years later, you know, if you wrote a book 30 years ago, you wish you knew then what you know now, you know? So that means, I guess it's time for a new one. But you know what the hard part about that is? Because, you know, for many years, Danny, I have not taken pictures. I you know, it's like I don't need a picture of me holding another bass
you
or
know
another
what?
Muskie or another walleye. I don't need that.
The only pictures I have. Yeah. Are when we are up either walleye fishing or smallie fishing on the Bay of Green Bay, and I'm with my buddy or brothers, and they insist on taking a picture of me
otherwise,
with the fish. Otherwise,
yeah. I don't care. I've
become a fish snob where I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Well, I look at
there's a pretty 30-inch walleye. Let's just let that baby go.
Yeah, I look at it this way. It's like, you know, I don't have to have what's
What that was pretty did loud. The aliens just tap our station here?
Yeah. Is that what happened?
Wow.
I think it's the Chinese.
Okay.
They're spying on us.
Well, the thing is Danny, if you catch a 30-inch walleye, you don't have to prove it with a photo. You say to me, Tom, I caught a 30-inch walleye. I say, hey, awesome, Danny.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
I don't need proof of it.
Right.
If I catch a 20-inch smallie,
I don't
have to have
proof.
A picture to prove it. I say, hey, I caught a 20-incher. And if somebody says, oh, was that really an 18? Hey, look, if you don't believe me, fine. I don't care. I know what I caught, you know.
Right.
I know what I did. So
no, we don't believe other people half the time because most people don't even measure.
They
exaggerate or and you're like, well, it was about.
I'm going to say this, and I might get in trouble for this.
Do you have a board on your? I have a board right on my.
In my son's boat, we got measuring thing, big long ones. Yeah.
You put it on a board and then you can tell.
Yeah. But, my friend John Gillespie might get mad at me for this. But, you know, when they have that big fish part of the show and they show five different people holding their fish and saying how big they are, every week two or three out of the five are lying. You can tell.
Well, you know, but they're kids and
stuff.
No, Tom.
These aren't the kids' part. This is I don't worry about the kids' part. It's the adult part. See, they have five of the adults and I think two or three of the kids. I don't worry about that. No, it's the egregious ones.
The egregious ones. See,
like a guy's holding a 9-inch bluegill and he's trying to tell me it's a 14-inch bluegill.
See, I'm not.
I know
egregious.
It's not.
I'm not egregious by it because
you're not egregious.
Because if they feel good about it and they want to think it's that, let people feel good about themselves, Tom.
Yeah,
and that's my kind of measuring system,
it
too.
It doesn't bug me.
No.
3 inches equals a foot in my book, so that's the measuring system I go by.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. I can't let it. No, I can't let it pass. It's one thing if you have a 49-inch muskie and on the TV show you say it's a 50. Okay, fine. I don't care. With northern pike and muskie, okay, fine. But when you have, especially with the bluegills, crappies, and perch, I mean, one time there was the guy. I mean, he had what looked, and you could see his big fingers in the way and all that. Might have been like in a 12-inch crappie, and he was saying it was a 17-incher. I know it's not a 17-inch. You know why I know it's not? Because I caught one almost 17 inches.
No, you didn't.
No, it
I don't believe it.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly 17.
Yeah, well,
but I have seen a 17-inch crappie, and that wasn't it.
See, I'm not so quick to call BS on people, you know. Unless it gets to a point where it's
it's
egregious.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Then it gets
you like
to
that
me.
Word,
but
right? You like that. That's a
egregious.
Good one. But yeah, I mean, it's like okay, if they fudge a little bit, okay, fine, no big deal. But when they're really fudging, the worst one I saw was
fudging. When's
guy
the last
had
time I
like
heard
about
words?
A He had like about a 20-inch largemouth, and he said it was 28 inches. That was the worst one of the bunch that I've ever seen. Oh, my goodness.
I would have been egregious.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I can agree with that.
In the words of our friend, absolutely.
God. God have mercy. Hey, the John Layman Memorial Three Charlies Muskie Invitational is next week Saturday, and we promise, you know, that it won't be 50 mile an hour winds and people will be, you know, riding waves on surfboards next to you like today. The tournament is dedicated to the memory of John, our old compadre on the radio station, Charlie Steen Layman, and the Charlie the dog. And the proceeds go towards muskie stocking, half of them. And then there's a pretty good payout if there's 50 boats. Only $150 to enter. So for those of you guys challenged at math, if you have a partner, it's $75 each. Check it on your calculator on your phone if you don't believe me. First place, $2,000. Second place, $1,200. Third place, $550. And it's a good time. Tournament hours are 7:30 to 3 p.m. Award ceremony at Smokey's Muskie Shop. So anyway, swing by the Muskie Shop right by the waterfront. Swing by, pick up your registration, go up, visit our good friends at the waterfront, and have some of those haystack onion rings and a brewski afterwards.
Yeah, and they usually, and over at Smokey's, after the tournament, they're usually cooking something on the grills.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get.
I don't know if they're going to do that.
We're
going to
get
time,
our head chef Andy or one of the trained technicians. Actually, I think the technicians are on strike right now.
You know, we should. We should call them.
I think the technicians they unionized, they organized, and they're on strike right now.
I'll tell you, you know, when we come back, we're getting into sucker time, you know, using sucker minnows for muskies. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that after the gut report that's coming up next. So stay tuned here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, this comes from our good friends Mad Dog and Merrill. So if you pickle stuff like northern pike, bluegills, people pickle a lot of different fish. But anyway, after you have your pickled fish, try this. Take, you know, about a pound of your pickled fish and then mix this up. 1 cup of sour cream, the juice of 1 lemon, or if you prefer lime, but lemon, 1 large onion thinly sliced, and a tablespoon of peppercorns. Stir it all together, then refrigerate that, you know, take the fish, the pickled fish, and this, I guess you call it a sour cream sauce, and stir it all together, put it in the refrigerator, wait about 2 hours, and then serve it. So if you like pickled herring or sour cream herring, this is a great way to make your own. All right, so you might want to try that. I mean, if people are still pickling fish, I don't know. We'll find out. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service.
I'm not.
At 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
All night with the king. I got to tell you, poker's his thing. Booze and ladies, keep me right. As long as we can make it to the show tonight, well, American
Good
man.
Choice, Jeff. Great choice. Classic tunes, man. Welcome back. Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, we want to thank all our listeners right now. We've got people at work, on their way to work, on their way home from work, at home, friends, everybody that's out there listening, law enforcement officers working to protect us, first responders, servicemen. Thanks to all for what you do. And
yes.
Tom, I got my gripe of the week, buddy.
Oh, yeah, after that, we're going to talk suckers.
Ahead.
But no, go ahead.
Gripe of the week.
Tell us your gripe, Danny.
You know, I meant to talk about this sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I was at work yesterday, and one of the gals in the office goes, Dan, what's with this zombie deer disease? Tom, you with me there?
Yeah, I'll go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So she said, what's with this zombie deer disease?
The zombie deer disease?
Have you heard about that?
I've heard of other diseases. Now there's a zombie disease?
Tom, you must not read the papers, dude.
I don't have time for that.
This is... What do you live in a bubble? Anyway, it's been in major.
I've heard zombie ear disease.
But okay, what are they referring to?
I have no idea.
Come on, dude. What do you live in a bubble?
I've just heard it. Zombie.
He has no clue, Jeff.
No.
So if you read USA Today and major news outlets,
it's
been on the internet, everything else. The major news organizations are referring to chronic wasting disease as the zombie deer disease.
Okay, now I remember. Yes. Okay, yes. Okay.
Which is all a bunch of
hooey
BS.
Yeah. Hooey,
that's
hooey.
Just, you can't trust the media these days.
No, you can't.
They're just making, they're
fake news.
They're just, well, here's what they're doing, Tom. They're sensationalizing it by attaching the name zombie to
it. Exactly.
Right? It's chronic wasting disease. It's been around forever, I told the gal. I said, it's been around for 15 years. We've been talking about it. And all of a sudden, it's national news. They're splashing the headlines and calling it the zombie deer disease. Give me a break. So tired of these, you know, national media. You know, it's just making a big deal and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, they think it'll sell more papers, I think, if they got a headline. Zombie deer disease, you know, and then, oh, I better buy this and read about it.
Yeah, right along with a bunch of other fake stories.
Hey, we got an email, Danny. This comes from Dennis. He says, a trusted source at Smokey's told me the following. Tom don't look like much, but he does 50 push-ups and 50 sit-ups before every show, right in the studio. Could that be true? Dennis, you've been drinking. That other guy's been smoking funny stuff. Whoever told you that?
Let me respond, Tom.
Okay, were you the trusted source?
No, the first erroneous foundation of this story is there are no trusted sources at Smokey's Muskie Shop Bar and Casino.
Unless it comes to maybe fishing, muskie fishing.
Well.
Maybe that, yeah.
It was secondhand information anyway. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tom, 50, did you ever, you must have done 50 push-ups back in the day.
I don't think I ever had to.
Well, you were a lean machine. You had a roll. You had the white T-shirt and a roll of smokes rolled up by your arm back in high school, leaning on a 65 Nova, having a smoke.
62
getting
Nova.
Ready, 62
Nova.
How'd I know this? Right, ready to be peeling out of the parking lot.
Actually, I wish
slick back hair.
With his buddies in high school.
You know what I wish I had a picture of? I went to Washington High School. Well, I first went to Pius High School. They didn't have a sense of humor, and after a year and a half, they asked me to go someplace else. So then I went to Washington High School, which was closer to my house, right? So I remember one time, though, on 43rd Street, that's where Washington High School's on the west side of the street, and 43rd Street is like a boulevard, okay? And my buddy Tom Hirsch and I were on the other side of the street, parked up leaning next to my 62 Nova, having a beer. Standing outside the car, leaning against it, having a beer during school hours, and on the third floor of the class that we were supposed to be in, the teacher sticks his head out the window and says, hey, Neubauer and Hirsch, get your butts in here.
He didn't use the word butts.
I think he did. I think he did. But and we just were holding our cans of beer. We kind of like toasted them. Hey, how you doing?
Nice.
We got in trouble for that, too.
Yeah. You were an overachiever.
So
in
where
high
was
school.
Your third high school, Tom?
No, I finished.
Yeah, right. Good question. Where's that? How'd that homeschool work out for you?
No,
pretty good.
We finished there.
Mom kick you out of homeschool after that too, or what?
They didn't have homeschooling back then, I don't think. Unless you lived on a
farm.
Here he
is having a beer. Now we get kids for just having a little vape now and then.
Yeah,
look how bad you were back then.
I know. The things we got, the things we did back then. It was terrible.
You know? Well, I'm here to, and I'll produce the high school football coaches show, you know, that comes on at 10 o'clock. And last week or the week before, it was homecoming week for a lot of these high schools.
Yeah.
So the athletic director from Muskego was here. A couple coaches were here. And those guys, they do like some kind of random draw, and they breathalyze these kids that come in for their homecoming dates.
Really?
Totally.
Well, I guess
boggled
they have to
my
nowadays.
Mind. Why can't kids have any fun anymore?
I know.
Well, we don't want them to have too much fun, Jeff.
Yeah.
As long as they're not driving.
Well.
Yeah, if they're not
driving.
You know,
what did you do in high school?
I was clean cut, man.
Yeah?
Yep, I was a good, I was good. Yeah, I didn't get into trouble till I got to college. That's when I got put on double secret probation. I got put on
You in the witness protection program.
The football coaches put me on dawn patrol where we had to get and run sprints in the gym at 5 in the morning.
Ouch.
And the administration made us take a Saturday and go pick up the campus to pick up garbage.
I just remember something about about push-ups.
And they sent my parents a letter.
When I was at Pius High School,
I don't do push-ups. I do bush-ups.
There was this one gym teacher who, I won't go into that. But anyway, I did something that he didn't like, or I didn't do something, and he said, "Give me 20, Neubauer," and I said, "20? Yeah, give me 20 push-ups." I said, "Give yourself 20 push-ups." I said, "Give me, 20 push-ups." Shut the heck up. Oh, yeah, we had a good one. As a matter of fact, a window got broken. And give yourself 20. I'm not doing no damn 20.
See, he was just a. And it's hard to believe you're
such a nice guy. I'm a sweetheart.
Well, not really. But you're kind of a.
Listen to that. Not really.
You're a kiss butt with your wife.
Of course.
It seems like that's the only one that. She must have been really hot then, huh?
She was.
Yeah,
she was.
That's why you.
She still is.
You kissed her butt right out of high.
She's 65 years old and still is. I think.
I don't know.
She doesn't look 65. But yeah.
Sophia Loren at 65, or maybe Raquel or Anne Margaret.
My son Chris.
Of course, they've had lots of surgery.
My son Chris wanted me to tell you this joke on the radio.
Is it clean?
Yes. Okay. He said, "How do you get a Kleenex to dance?" How do you get a Kleenex to dance?
Hold on. Let me think. Okay. I give up.
Okay. Put a little boogie in it. I know that's so bad. He says, you got to say this on the radio. I says, yeah, I'll tell Danny. He won't laugh. And then he'll accuse me of laughing at my own jokes, which I did.
Can we
go to a break?
That's not bad. I've heard worse.
Look, we're going to go to a break, but coming up next is the Hornswoggle. It's brought to you by Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls on Main Street and Pilgrim Road. Great place for sausages, meats, and more. As a matter of fact, they have award-winning sausages. It's really, really good. You got to go out there. Anyway, you'll win a $10 gift certificate if you win. So be a caller now at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Be a contestant in the Hornswoggle. We'll be right back with more right here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Got the Polish Rifle rocking over there to his tunes there. Welcome back, Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, we our caller for the Hornswoggle somehow got disconnected and dropped off. So you got a chance. Give a call right now, 799-1250, and you too can be a contestant on the Hornswoggle. I'm going to make three statements. And all you got to do is get two out of three correct, and you'll win that certificate for Carl's Country Market. So give us a call. Jeff will man the board.
Yeah, and all you got to do is say it's a Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle. I'll tell you, the word Hornswoggle is getting really popular.
It is?
Because people listen to the show. Yeah, people listen to the show. And they just think that's the name, just the word Hornswoggle is funny. I think they like to say it or something.
When a kid comes to class late and gives me an excuse, I look at him, I go, "Oh, that's a Hornswoggle." You want to get some dazed looks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot.
The vocabulary of American youths is not as good as what it used to be. They don't read anymore. You can use words and they don't know what the word means. Mm-hmm.
Danny, when you mention that, all the lines lit up. But we do have a contestant, and who is this?
We've got Steve from Milwaukee.
All right. Hey, Steve.
Hit the button.
You got him up?
Now he just dropped off. Jeez, we did.
We got a.
Okay, we'll take the next guy.
We got a rash of drop-offs here. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, they're just maybe Steve.
I don't think the rapture is taking place because you're still here, Tom.
He had a second thought about playing the Hornswoggle, Maybe he had a second thought.
Maybe he didn't want to play. Maybe it was the wrong number, Tom.
Yeah, it could have been a wrong number. Or maybe he was just calling with a question or comment and didn't really want to play the Hornswoggle. Okay. I don't know why. Okay, now who do we have?
Now we've got Fred from the Palatial Estates of Mequon.
All right. Wow. Fred in Mequon. How you doing, Fred?
Good morning, Fred.
Live the dream, fellas. How about you?
Living the dream. I like it. I like it. So here we go. You get two out of three of these correct, and you will be a lucky wiener. Here we go. The subject today is the Great Lakes. Lake Erie. Lake Erie, fantastic fishery, but at one time it was known as the Dead Sea due to pollution. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle, yeah. Yep. I remember vividly as a kid a cover of a National Geographic magazine that showed this green, slimy water, and I think that was the title of it, the Dead Sea.
Wow.
Okay, next one, Lake Erie. Lake Erie is the deepest of the Great Lakes. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'm going to go Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Very good. Lake
All
Superior, right.
Lake
right?
Superior, yeah. Followed, I believe, by Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. then Lake, I don't know, Huron,
then I don't
Ontario.
Know
one, okay, I know Lake Erie's the shallowest, actually.
Right.
I think
right.
that's why it gets pretty rough there with that one. Okay, let's see if you could get the third one here, make you really feel good here. Lake trout. There's lake trout in the Great Lakes, but they were not native to the Great Lakes. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
They were not. You said they were not native to the Great Lakes?
Right, that's what I said.
Okay. I'll say that's Hornswoggle.
That is a Hornswoggle. That's
very
the
good.
One that wasn't.
Steve, Fred. Fred, you're hot. You're
now,
on
we
got to
make
morning.
Sure that the Polish rifle there gets your name, first name, and last name rifle because some of our previous producers give me a first name.
Yeah, exactly.
And name, address, mailing address, and I'll get that $10 certificate to Carl's out to you real quick.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks
for thanks, listening,
Fred. Bye now.
All right. So the rifle will get that over there. And so what you got over there, Tom?
Oh, I was just writing stuff here.
You're writing some stuff?
Yeah, just getting ready. We know what we brought up, what we were talking about during the break a little bit was last week, let's put it this way. After the 7:15 break, we're going to play the NFL football picking contest.
Right.
And last week, you and I and our producer picked Dallas. The contestant was the only one who picked Green Bay. So us three were wrong. Now watch, this week we'll all pick Green Bay and watch Detroit win, you know, so who knows.
Well, Detroit do have a good defense.
And they're okay. Actually, Detroit is not a bad team. They're not bad, you know, I mean.
I saw one thing, I forget where I saw it, on one of the websites, ESPN website, where it did some flash advertisement for some guy who's a predictor for, you know, mm-hmm. locks of the week and stuff like
yeah.
that. The Packers over Detroit was his lock of the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, what's No Name have to say about it?
No, we should call him. Should we call him and find out?
Yeah, why don't we get No Name, you know.
The No Name bookie.
Get the No Name bookie on the line.
I'm going to have to write this in I got to write this in code.
Well, we could go with the Star Wars code and go with the No Name Wookie.
All right, here. Okay, here's the number. It's the no-name bookie. Give him a call. We'll see what he thinks. And, you know, one of these days, I'm just waiting for a cop to pull up to me and say, okay, buddy, who's this no-name bookie? We want to know. That's illegal. Tell us his name. You know, what am I going to do? I'm too pretty to go to prison if I don't tell.
You're a cute little guy. They're going to be loving you from dawn till dark. Dark till dawn.
And what are you going to be doing?
I'll be selling smokes in the cafeteria. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
We are bad.
I gotta watch that movie again.
I got it.
Yeah, so do I. I've
DVD.
Got it.
I got
yeah,
it. Not
me
just
too.
The not just the VHS.
Yeah, I got it yeah. on DVD, too. And I'm going to have to just... listen to it, watch it one more time, because if you don't know what we're talking about, folks, it's called Strange Brew, Bob and Doug McKenzie's quest for free brewski.
Because they found a mouse in their beer. So
well, they didn't really find it, and they put it in there because he heard that if you found a mouse in a beer, that they'd give you a free case of beer. So they went and put a mouse in a beer and took it in, and the guy, they threw him out of the place.
Yeah, it was.
They didn't get away with it.
Yeah.
So. Now the no name bookie might be busy right now, so
no
we might have to call him after 7. Yeah, he might be busy. So we'll give them a call after 7. So we'll try that. Anyway, you know, we were going to talk about suckers after the gut report.
Well, it is that time of year now, Tom.
Yeah, and the water temperature should be falling now with this weather.
Well, yeah, drastically falling. But I was going to ask you this, Tom. What is your experience like on a weekend like right now where we just, okay, it was 60-some degrees the other day. It was comfortable. I'm walking around with T-shirt, you know, showing the pipes off, and now all of a sudden it's drastically plummeted in cold. What's that going to do to the fish, this sudden cold front?
They still have to eat.
Well, we know that.
But the thing is, how often will they, and can you entice them to eat? The easy meal, like a sucker, rather than having to chase something, is just maybe easier for them. You know,
wouldn't you say a sudden cold front overall is not...
What's worse to me
good, though,
is the post-frontal conditions after the cold front.
So you're saying, like, well, the front will come through this weekend, and then it's going to get nicer.
Now.
You think, like... Next week will tougher after this weekend?
A day or two after.
Okay, so like Monday or Tuesday?
Might be tougher days than today. But it is windy. Oh, you know what? Jeff is letting
us know. Jeff's letting us know we got to go. Is that what that music is?
It is now time for the sports update with the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlovsky.
Seeger.
Take it away, Jeff.
Good choice.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We're not suckers here at the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, but we know where you can get them at Smokey's Musky Bait and Tackle Shop on Pewaukee Lake. This is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Soakers!
And we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. And if you want to be part of the show, give us a call at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Also, you can email us live at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. So, he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Jeff Orlovsky sitting in today for part-time Bodie.
So okay,
we were talking about suckers, Danny.
Yeah, and I got it. You know, you bring up some important points, Tom. I got some important financial advice for everybody out there. You know, you hear all these advertisements about gold going up 30% and silver. Well, stock market's going bad because of fights with China and stuff. Hey, if I were going to invest now, Tom, I think I'd invest in suckers. I think that's going to be a good financial investment because the price of suckers has gone up steadily over the years. I don't know. How much is it for a big 15-inch sucker now? What's it going
Eight to
for?
10 bucks.
Yeah, and no one knows this more than my old friend Troy Woodrow, who spent literally thousands of dollars, thousands back in the day, on suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd go in. He one time he ran a tab. He had 1,200 that he owed yet, just
oh,
on
wow.
suckers.
Yeah. There's several guys out at Smokies who guide a lot out there in the fall. Well, like Paul, our friend Paul.
Yeah.
And he buys a lot of suckers. And gee whiz.
Troy used to buy like 10 at a time. So I think he spent thousands over the years on suckers.
Yeah.
But they do work. And the tip is this. To keep them alive, one thing I always thought of doing, like Sankey did it, one of the trained technicians at, you know, Smokey's Musky Shop Bar and Casino, is he took like some chicken wire, you know, like a little cage type thing, sunk it below his pier, and just keeps the suckers right there in the lake water,
right?
Which would work great.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you got a big giant cooler, and it's cold enough in the fall, and keep that outside and check on them, maybe refresh some lake, you know, if you can, some water once in a while.
Yeah.
But I've had them in a cooler for days this time of year, if the weather's like this right now, or you're live well.
If you have an aerator, one of those portable aerators.
Yeah, I bought one of those little things.
Drop it down in the cooler. Man, that worked. You can keep those things for a week. You know, I mean, really, you can keep them a long time, you know. So, because, yeah, suckers aren't cheap. But I'll tell you, that is such an effective way. Now, I said to my son, Chris, it was during the week one day. I think it was Wednesday. I said, so we going fishing Sunday? And he says, do you know what the weather's supposed to be like? Windy, cold, maybe snow? And I said, yeah, so? I mean, I said, yeah, so?
So you are going fishing tomorrow?
No, he doesn't want to go.
Would you go out in that weather?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
I've got, hey.
You've gotten soft over the years.
I've got long underwear. I've got the flannel-lined jeans. I've got heavy jackets. I've got stuff to wear.
We were just talking. A cold front's going to put those fish off, man.
It might or might not. Well, you know what? You don't know if you're going to catch one unless you're out there fishing for them. You got to have something in the water to try to catch them. And I, you know, the thing is, and you're right about Pewaukee, depending on that wind, man, it comes through there like a roaring, it's just crazy. But I like going to Oconomowoc. And because there's areas there where it's still good fishing, there are still fish present, but you can get out of the, there's a lot of places which are good areas to get out of the wind.
That's a little more sheltered there.
Yeah, it is. And especially.
Well, I did Fowler one time, there you go. It was so windy, and I actually went and did catch a muskie on that little hole in the wall pond Fowler.
That's like a secret that I, for years, wouldn't tell people about. I mean, Fowler is about an 80-acre lake, of which 50 acres is fishable for muskie. And it's one of those lakes that it's a perfect lake to go to in the fall. Like if the Packers are playing at noon, you get out there at 8 o'clock, and you in 3 hours from 8 to 11,
right,
you can make two full circles, passes around the lake in that, let's say 25, 30 feet of water, you got the suckers out, you're casting towards the weed line and that. You can make two full circles, and if they're biting, they're biting. If they're not, they're not, all right? But you can be out of there, back home, in front of the TV by the time the Packers come on.
You know, I almost wish I had a little boat, a smaller
just
boat.
Just to do that.
Just to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like a little boat just to throw it in the back of my truck. And I guess not that hooking my boat up and driving it is any big deal, but it seems like overkill being in a boat the size that I have on a little Fowler, but just a small little something. Yeah. You know, I'm not into that, you know, that yuppie kind of not the canoe, what do they call
it? Oh, the kayaks.
I'm not into that kayak stuff, right? That seems
I'd want a muskie fish like out kind of a kayak. No.
That seems like kind of a millet is, I don't know if millet, whatever. It's for young people today to do they think it's cool. Not me. But I wouldn't mind doing that on Fowler, actually, with the sucker.
I wouldn't want a musky fish on Fowler. Should we take this call first? I don't know.
Sure.
Okay, who do you got?
Well, I don't think he's in a kayak, but it's Ian from Kansas.
Oh, our friend Ian. Hey,
bow hunting for Kansas whitetails.
It's Kian.
Yeah,
Ian.
Kian.
Oh, yes. Kian. Oh, my
Yeah,
fault.
With a K.
Hey, is the water turning over down by you guys?
Not yet. Not yet.
I was talking to Pete Mena and Rob Manti,
okay, who
live up in St. Germain, and they're going hunting now because the water's turning over, and they're telling me that that's the worst time to muskie fish because
they're
in limbo.
Yep, it's the worst time. Yep, and that's going to last for it could last 3 to 5 days, but and of course northern Wisconsin is going to turn over before down here, so we can figure ours might turn over in a couple weeks or so.
Now,
One
thing as far as avoiding the effects of turnover is some lakes, there's really not much shallow lakes that are wind blown and stuff like that. You know, even like Pewaukee, maybe you'll see turnover, but there's still shallow areas, far west end, east end, where there's always muskies, and I think you can still strategically try and fish lakes that would be less affected by it.
Right, because the shallow lakes are less affected.
Yeah, because they really don't have of a thermal climb,
there ain't
so
gonna
to speak.
Be, there is no thermal climb. Yeah, if it's 7, 8, 9 feet of water, there is no thermal climb.
Right.
It's not going to turn over,
All right, well, the other thing I want to say was 2 weeks from yesterday, I'll be in Nebraska with my bow and arrow getting ready to plane sling.
All right.
Yeah.
It's that time is here again.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you guys did pretty well last year, right? You were calling us from there.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll call you again. We dropped two nice ones last year, but it was early September 2 years. No, it was last year where we put six giants on the ground.
Wow.
I was guiding for an outfitter. But the weather here in Kansas has dropped. I think it was like maybe 40 degrees.
Yeah, I know. That big front that went through Denver and all that area came right through you guys. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, well, you guys have a great day. Again, I appreciate listening to you every Saturday morning. My girlfriend doesn't like it, but I told her.
Ask her what would make her, what kind of a segment she might like that we could do that she would like it and get back to us.
I'll do that. She's kind of grumpy right now.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, Kian.
Yep. Take care, man.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And, you know, one of the things that people got to remember when they're using suckers, Danny, that about the regulation for using them, you got to use a quick strike rig or quick set, whatever you want to call it, and you can't wait like a while. You're supposed to set the hook as soon as you get the hit. You're supposed to grab it and
what they
set.
What they want to avoid is them swallowing it.
Right, exactly.
Sucking it.
So just remember, folks, you got to use that quick set.
The last real big one I got was with Dr. Dennis Maiman, 48-incher on a sucker, and it was comical, Tom, because we were casting, dragging suckers, and we actually had one, I think I've told you the story, where we had a muskie that was behind the sucker for at least 45 minutes and wouldn't grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I'd pull the sucker up, that muskie would be right behind it, about a 40-incher. In fact, we drifted off 50 yards off the point, and that muskie was still there. But that one never ate. But about an hour later in a different area of the lake, you know how sometimes you get a hit on a sucker and you're drifting and it's lines going out and you're not sure it's a fish or it's a weed or it's a sucker getting feisty? This was a hit where it was like a salmon hitting on a Lake Michigan trolling rod,
No.
Zzz, it's taken off. So I wind in the other line quick and I grab the rod and Dennis is in front. He just launched a long cast, and he's winding and talking to me slowly, and he's just like nothing.
Talking slowly or winding slowly?
Both. Acting. Okay. and like nothing, like he didn't hear me, that we had a, and finally I said, Dennis, you got to get back here and set the hook. He goes, I'm moving slow and trying to remain calm. He was trying to keep himself calm, and man, when he set the hook on that one, I'll tell you what, I cranked the drag down.
Yeah.
For sucker, setting hooks on suckers. Mm-hmm. But when he set the hook and I saw the rod doubling over, I backed off on the drag, and it's a good thing I did.
Yep.
Because that thing made some runs and leaps at the boat, and it was a great story.
Yeah,
we got that, baby.
You know, when we were talking about Fowler Lake, I've caught a number of muskies out there. My best one was a 46-incher, and then I got one where me and Dennis Radloff were out doing a TV show one time there. And it was one of those nasty days, kind of like today, but in November, where we had sleet coming down. It was cold and it was windy. We were going to go to a different lake, but he says, no, we better go to Fowler because of the wind. Okay.
Right.
He said, no, let's go to Fowler. And on the show that day, I got a 44-incher on a bulldog.
Right.
And Dennis even pointed it out. He says, you know, last week we saw a nice fish right over there. So I cast it over there and got it. It's like, man, Dennis, you're awesome. I wish Dennis Radloff was still guiding. He was a good guy.
That was the one on the bulldog?
Yeah, that was the one on the bulldog, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Maybe Dennis, he calls us once in a while.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing. We should give him a call one day. Hey, Jeff, you want to give the no-name bookie a call? Okay, you want to call him now? Because we want to get his info before we go to the NFL football picking contest, which will open up the phone lines shortly to get a contestant for this week. And it's brought to you, by the way, by Curly's Waterfront Pub out there in Pewaukee Lake. I got to go out there. I will be going out there soon. I know that for a fact. You know why? Because I'll be buying suckers at Smokey's.
Yeah.
So since I'm there.
You think you're going to go out do some sucker fishing with the sun?
It'll be coming up. I'm also going to be going with this one young fella that I go with every now and then. He's never musky fished before. So, okay, we got him on. Okay, here we got the no-name bookie. Good morning, no-name.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
So what do you think about this week's game against Packers versus Lions?
I like the Packers.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So last week, weren't you on Dallas?
Last week?
Yeah.
No.
No, you were on the Packers last week.
Good job.
Too.
We were one of the few.
We should have called you.
We should have listened
week.
To you, the expert.
Yeah.
We like the Packers. Now, even without.
What's the point spread? Hey, wait a minute. What's the point spread? Do you know what it is?
No, I don't know it offhand right now.
Oh, okay. You got to check all those books and logs that you have.
I think
have
it was like
that.
3.5, wasn't it? Something
I don't
like
know.
That. I think it was like a 3.5, 4.5 point spread. Maybe our trained technician, the Polish rifle back there, can get on that for us.
Yeah.
But even with our wide receiver, what's his name?
Adams.
Adams out. And who else? Don't we have some more
Williams
injuries?
Is back.
Williams
the
is
running
back.
He's back.
Adams. And now Aaron Rodgers, knee
hurt?
Oh,
yeah,
what's
but he's
going to
play.
There?
He's going to play.
Oh, he's playing.
Yeah, they said he's playing.
Okay.
He tweaked his knee a little bit.
Okay.
So it's not a big
deal. Yeah, I like the Packers up to 7.
Yeah, I think so. Monday night in Lambeau Field. Oh, yeah, they're on a roll.
Packers are 4-point favorites.
Okay.
Okay,
oh,
so
yeah.
So you think the Packers will cover that, huh?
They'll cover that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right, No Name, thanks for the input.
Take care, man.
All right, bud.
All right,
take
bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Yeah, you know, I just figured out he was probably at the – he was, you know, over in Vegas in those big places, those hotels. They got the betting rooms, you know, the sports bars and betting rooms where, you know, you make – he was probably making a bet. That's what he probably was
He's in
was
Vegas
doing.
Right now?
Well, who knows where he is. Could be in the Cayman Islands, you know. You know, doing whatever, but or what's that place he was at a few years ago on the East Coast, Atlantic City?
Yeah,
you know, but he's probably sitting in that sports book in Vegas, getting free drinks, you know, making bets. Yeah. The No Name bookie.
He's got the life, I'll tell you.
You know, they call those guys who bet the big money the sharps. They call them sharps. The sharps.
Sharps.
The sharps. Yeah, they're because they supposedly are sharp on when it comes to betting that they know
they
what they're
them
doing.
Sharps.
Yeah, they don't always know, but they're pretty.
Called sharks.
No, not sharks. Sharps with a P.
What do they call guys sharks. Like me that bet very little? Dopes.
Guys like you and me who bet on the horse races. We bet on
Actually,
the
I don't
three
bet.
Big horse races. That's what we bet
well,
on.
Tom
the horse
talked
races.
Me into a trifecta.
And, we didn't. This year we didn't do any good in the horse races.
Nah.
A couple years in a row we did all right.
Took
you know.
A beating.
But this year, no.
Right.
But oh, you'll like
Life
this
savings,
one, Jeff.
Down the drain.
Jeff,
there goes $10 down the drain.
You'll like this.
Saved like
you know, in that one horse race, was that the Kentucky Derby where the winning horse was disqualified, so the second place horse won. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. That second place horse was like I don't know 50-1 shot. It was a nag, right?
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being the winner, and I said to my friend, a No Name bookie, one after the race, because I always call him after the race and. Race cry about not winning. I said, who would bet on a 50-1? Nobody's going to win money on this. Who would bet on a 50-1 shot or whatever? He said his wife did.
Nice.
And she won. She put a $2 bet on it and won. I said, who does that? His wife. God. How lucky is that? Okay. Coming up next now, folks, is the NFL football picking contest brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. Danny and I can both attest that they got great food, great drinks, great people. They got TVs all over, a lot of different games. It's a neat place to go, real nice place. You can even take the family there. It's a good place at the Curly's Waterfront Pub, which is Kitty Corner or Caddy Corner, depending on which part of the country you come from. Kitty Corner from Smokey's Musky Shop right there on Pewaukee Lake. So call now at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Be a contestant in the NFL football picking contest. We'll be right back with more with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer, and the Polish Pipe Bomb. Stay tuned. If you want that, you got
to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening this morning. We appreciate it. 799-1250 if you got a hunting and fishing report.
Yeah, and right now we got Mike on the line. He's going to be our contestant. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, you know where Curly's Waterfront Pub is?
I've been there.
Yeah, it's
Pretty
a good
place.
It is a good place. And did you ever have the French fries there?
Yeah, well, they come with the sandwiches and
yeah. And they're perfect, aren't
well, Tom
they?
Tom makes such a big deal about
they're
it,
perfect.
Mike. He's like,
because
they're perfectly the same size.
Aren't they?
Like, they
I
measure
mean, no,
with
I mean,
the micrometer.
They're the same color, you know? Did you notice that?
No, they're he didn't the notice, color. Tom. Normal people don't notice stuff like that. They just eat the fries.
You just eat them. You don't look at the color.
I'm with you, man.
Well, they are good. Everything they make there is good. Anyway, so the Packers are favored by 4 against the Lions on Monday night. Who do you got?
I'm going with Green Bay.
All right.
They're at home. They're playing excellent ball.
Yeah, they are playing good, especially last week.
Yep.
Danny, who do you got?
Green Bay.
Jeff?
I've got Green Bay winning the game, but I'm going to take the 4 points with Detroit.
Oh, you are?
Whoa.
Okay, well,
it's going to be a close one.
Well, I'm taking Green Bay. So, Mike, that means automatically all you got to do is win or tie. No, that's yours.
Oh, okay.
Remember? Oh, wait a minute. No, NFL is mine. Yeah, I'm sorry. This one's mine. The other one was Danny's.
Yeah.
I got to give that to Danny. Anyway, Mike, you're an automatic winner. you're gonna tie us at least. That's the worst you can do is tie us.
It's always good to.
So
yeah, we're gonna beat Detroit.
Yeah, I think so. We're gonna beat them like a drum.
Lions have beat us 4 times in a row now.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
And this is the first of each of the next 3 weeks, the Packers play a team coming off their bye week.
Oh, really?
Detroit this week, and then Oakland's on the bye this week. They play the Raiders the following, and then they play the Chiefs. All 3 teams coming off their bye.
The only thing I worry about is the Chiefs. What about you, Mike?
Is Kansas City.
Yeah, that's the only one I worry about,
too. The Chiefs.
Yeah. Because I think, don't they travel to Kansas City?
Yeah, that's on the road.
Yeah.
And the other two are at Green Bay?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really too worried, but Stafford, he's been putting up some numbers, you know.
That no-name bookie taught me that.
Hey.
Oh, did he?
The home dog. Take the home team.
Yeah, take the home team. Yeah, you better believe it. All right, well, thanks, Mike,
and you'll
be getting your thing in the mail, okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay, take it easy.
Kansas City, Tom, I remember well that in our Super Bowl year, 1996, we were 13-3 with Mike Holmgren and Brett. One of our 3 losses was against Kansas City, I believe. I believe Chimura was out that game, and I think it was like a 16-7 game we lost.
Yeah.
The other game we lost, we never should have lost, was when we just went put our helmets on the field at Indianapolis. I think they were 1-15 that year.
Oh.
That win was against us as well. And the other loss was against Dallas when they kicked all those field goals, and Reggie White got ticked off and started chewing them out. Because they did it to break a record. It was like 16-3 like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. 5-6 field goals. Yep. 3 losses. Wow. How come I got a memory like that? And I can't remember.
5 field goals.
I can't remember 15. What I did yesterday.
Yeah. 15, yeah. Or was it 18?
Maybe it was 15. Maybe it was 18.
15, maybe it was 18.
Yeah, those were the 3 losses that year.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes
we're going to lose in Kansas City this year too.
Well, you know, it's funny how sometimes a team that you think should win doesn't, or a team that shouldn't win does. It's like, okay, the Packers, every year the Packers should beat Detroit, and then they turn around and beat the Packers. It's like, wait a minute, that's not right. That shouldn't happen that way.
But we always seem to beat the Bears.
Yeah. Even when you think
the Bears should beat the Packers.
Yeah.
Packers beat the Bears.
Yeah.
That has to drive Bear fans nuts.
Oh, it does. That's good.
We don't care if that drives them nuts.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to the game Monday night. That ought to be good. Under the lights at night, you know, that's always cool. You know, Sunday night games, Monday night games.
Lambeau Field.
But yeah. I do not like Thursday night games.
No, I don't either. Thursday night games and call it.
What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, the Thursday nighters are brutal because the quality of football is not the same as it is on Sunday when they have a full week.
Yeah, they don't book the premier matchups on Thursday night. It's kind of like the also ran one.
Well, I just don't like the Packers playing on Thursday night.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, if there's other teams playing, I'll watch if it's on. You know, I'll watch. I don't mind other teams, but I just don't want the Packers to play.
Why don't you want the Packers to play on Thursday night?
It just screws up my week. It's all about me.
Maybe you were scared that they get hurt or something.
No, not as much rest. No, it's all about me.
I don't like the Packers.
Just thinking about yourself.
That's right. Me too.
I don't like the Packers playing at home on Thursday night because those tickets are the hardest to sell.
Are they? Really? Oh yeah, Thursday night.
Everybody's
got to
work on Friday, so no one wants to drive up there. Get out of Green Bay at 11:30.
The only way you'd want to go to a Thursday night game would be to take Friday off.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That would be the absolutely
and
the
then,
way to
do it. Stay overnight, go to the casino up there at Oneida.
It was great because for a couple years in a row, the Packers would play the Bears on Thursday night up at Lambeau. So being a Fib, I would have a couple friends from Chicago come up. Yeah. We'd go to the game and then just head up to Door County for the weekend as a guy.
Yeah, there you go. There. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know there were a couple of games years ago that we would go walleye fishing on the Fox River during a Packer game at home. Okay. There are very few boats on the Fox River. But you had to leave either before the game ended or wait about 2 hours after it ended.
You know, Tom,
otherwise there was too much traffic.
You're talking about the Fox River and fall walleye fishing up there. You know, I haven't really heard a whole lot of good reports coming out of the Green Bay area this fall.
I don't hear a lot of reports from
DNR,
a period.
The DNR site that I look at lists all the different ports as well, even on Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
and it even as far as the salmon fishing, the Lake Michigan report hasn't been good. So now I know that Troy Woodrow's buddy, what's his name? I forget. I think he has Anglers Plus guide service up there. He posts and does some musky fishing up there now.
Sure.
And I believe he put a post that he got a 49-incher last week. Then he had another guy out.
Is that on the bay?
On the bay, 36-incher. Okay. So they get them here and there up there. But, I mean, they got to really put in a lot of time up there on the bay.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like it's gone gangbusters up there, although I think they've been pretty much hit by some bad weather and wind up there as well, which to be a Green Bay, you don't want to be out there when it's miserable. We talk about Pewaukee, but.
You
that'd
know,
be even worse.
Dennis Radloff told when Dennis was guiding on the bay, and he said, if you remember, you told us that story where it was really, really windy, so they fished the Fox River. They trolled in the Fox River, a lot of it in front of the Fort Howard Paper Company. And I forget what it was. And it was it one weekend they had 30 muskies?
Yeah.
I mean, remember that?
It was unreal. There was a time when they'd pack in that Fox River, but not so much anymore, Tom.
I think, you know what?
It's more a lower bay thing now.
Yeah.
I think when that fishery first exploded, there were an awful lot of fish packed in the river, and there are still some there.
Yeah, they're still there.
But you really don't hear the guys hitting that so much.
No.
They're normally out fishing University Bay.
Right, yeah.
They're going by Longtail and Little Tail towards Gainos, and they're working those areas primarily.
And, you know, what's cool about that Fox River up there is that every different species of fish is in there. So, I mean, you're never sure what you're going to catch. It is just the coolest thing, you know.
I'm getting a text that says Woody on here. He's texting me to tell me his friend's name is Jerry Ruffalo. I just remembered it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what it says, Jerry Ruffalo.
Okay. But, yeah, the Fox River, I mean, that is Boy, I'll tell you that, you know, for years, and it still is really good walleye fishing in the fall, but there's smallmouth in there, there's muskies in there, there's big pike in there, there's white bass. There's everything's in there.
Well, here's...
I have never caught a largemouth, though, up there. Never caught a largemouth.
Okay.
I've caught just about every... Even lake trout we caught in there one time. Lake trout, and we also caught a carp.
Well, you know, I grew up fishing the East River, right in Green Bay there.
Yeah.
And we'd fish from shore in the summer and catch carp and bullheads.
Yeah.
And that was it. But I'm sure even back then there had to be some occasional pike coming on up in there because there was a buddy of ours in high school had a farm out near Denmark, I believe, and a creek ran through it that actually ran into the East River, I believe. And there'd be pike in there in the spring that had to have come from far away through the East River through that system. And now, so even more that it's cleaned up, I'll bet you I could go fish the banks of the East River with sucker minnows under a bobber.
Yep.
And if I spent enough time, I'll bet I could catch pike and walleyes too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Nobody's fishing. You fished
the
mouth of the East River.
No, I went up it.
Oh, did you go up?
Oh God, you go right into town. Actually,
yeah,
you know.
I grew up there.
Yeah, I would go all the way up over the water. It got real skinny. You know, it got narrow.
Yes. Yes.
And, oh yeah, we went
so
up that thing.
Did you get walleyes way up there?
Or
not?
No, but we tried it.
But you tried.
But at the mouth there, where it's a lot wider and you got a lot of gravel and rock and whatever, we caught walleyes there, and nobody fishes there.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, like we'd fish on bottom for carp and bullheads and stuff. I'll bet you could go there with like a slip sinker and leeches on the bottom and catch walleyes out of the East River that nobody's fishing for.
I bet you could. You better believe it. Hey, listen, we got to go to a quick break, but we have a couple callers online. So, folks, if you just hold real quick online, we'll get to you right after the break. But I just got to read you this quick email real quick. This comes from John. He says, good morning, guys. Love the show. Question, why doesn't Iowa have a pro football team? Answer, because then Illinois would want one too. Okay, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. This is good music. Green.
When lights close the tired eyes.
Yeah, this is good, you know, lay in your college dorm room and look at a black light poster music. Welcome back. Skipperbuds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. There you go again, Tom, dating yourself. And on the line, I believe, we got Captain Jerry on the line there.
Captain Polish Jerry. Rifle.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
This is Jerry Ruffalo, right?
That's correct. I'm owner of Anglers Plus Guide Service. We're out trolling on Green Bay this morning for muskies. No rips this morning yet so far, though.
Yeah, I brought you up, about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, we were talking.
But you guys, I think, you got a 49-incher about a week ago out there, and you've been getting some fish, right?
Yeah, the bite's been pretty good. We're averaging over a fish a trip. Been getting a lot of mid-30s to lower 40s fish. It's a great sign for the future. Just shows what the great job that the DNR and Titletown Muskie Club are doing out here. We're doing very well. We've got a nice population of fish, and we're starting to see some of the big ones coming in too.
Now, hey, I was going to say, is it windy up there by you?
It is. Yeah. It's a bit windy this morning. We're down towards the lower portion of the bay. I actually spotted quite a few bigger fish on a side scan, and I'm trying to work these fish over, try to get them to stick a bait. There's a ton of bait fish down here in the lower bay right now too. So there's a lot of walleyes and muskie and pike that are down here right now.
Yeah. Now, as far as the stocking, correct me if I'm wrong, that the DNR had quit stocking when that VHS stuff first came about, but then they just resumed it a couple years ago, correct?
I believe that to be correct. I'm not 100% certain on it, but I know it was prompted by the local fishermen and by Titletown Muskie Club to, continue the project despite the VHS concerns. And I think that they have continued with that. And I think they're averaging right around 4,000 to 5,000, somewhere in the range of 4,000 to 5,000 muskies a year that they're releasing.
Wow.
Now, does the Muskie Club themselves release some on their own, or is it all with the DNR?
They work with the DNR. If I understand it correctly, they work with the DNR releasing those fish.
Okay. Gotcha.
So if somebody wants to go fishing with you, Jerry, how do they get in touch with you?
There's several ways. You could go to my Facebook page with Anglers Plus Guide Service LLC. You could go to my website, which is www.anglersplusguideservice.com. Or you could just look me up under Guides for Green Bay, and usually on Google search, I'll be one of the several that'll pop up. Or you could email me, anglersplus@yahoo.com, or you could call me, 920-973-2868. We're filling up. We're getting to the point now where I've got a few openings left in October and a few in November, and that's about it. They're almost all taken at this point.
Jerry, I got a question.
Sure.
I was, years ago, Dennis Radloff, when he was guiding, he said to me that for some reason you'd get a lot of rips up there that wouldn't hook up. Now, I was up there. I went trolling one day last year, and we had a tremendous rip that buried a planer board, and then it was gone. And when I troll on Pewaukee, I rarely, if ever, lose a fish. What is it up there when those fish hit, they seem to get off? I'm just kind of wondering if you got – my only thought is maybe they're so big that they clamp down like gator-like jaws, and then they just open their mouth and let it go and never get the hook set. I don't know.
That could be true, Dan. I'm not 100% certain either. I've dealt with a little bit of that this year. I think my hookup rate is probably around 60 to 70%. But it does happen where you get those big fish come up and they crush a bait and board goes back 10 to 15 feet and line rips out. Next thing you know, there's nothing and you reel it up and you got a bait that's got a star on it. But no hookup. So, yeah, and you think to yourself, if you're going 3 to 3.5 miles an hour pulling a bait with ultra-sharp hooks, how do you not get hooks in a fish?
Right, right.
And then if I lay one of those baits down on a seat or I got it hanging from a line in the boat and it touches a piece of fabric, I guarantee you it's going to hook whatever it hooks. So, yeah, it never fails.
Yeah.
What do you have you tried experimenting tighter drag, lighter drag? I'm sure you have.
I have. My tendency is to keep the drags on a slightly lighter side. In most cases, when these fish rip and when they go, they're usually hooked up pretty good. And then there's guys that use braid. There's guys that use mono. I use 40-pound Thylene Big Game, and I have 100-pound Seaguar 6-foot fluorocarbon leaders. I don't tie any of my leaders. All my leaders are crimped. I've yet to have a crimp fail. I've yet to have a line break on a fish. I mean, all the things that, you know, that would lend you towards failure and thinking you're going to make changes to your setup, I've never had any of those happen. I'm very pleased with the way it's been set up, and it works great.
I got you. Well, I know everybody's kind of got their setups. I'm like you, though, Jerry. I tend to kind of go with the lighter, air on the lighter drag side. And, you rarely lose a fish once it is hooked up good. I think having that drag gives you, especially if you're handing the rod to a client, you don't want to have the drag too tight.
That's correct. I'm the same way. If anything, when the client starts bringing a fish up, If I see that it's pulling drag out but it's not out, something that I got to be concerned with, I'm going to drag down a little bit. But in general, they're set pretty loose. And my advice to the client is to stand in the middle of the boat and reel, and I'll take care of the rest. And it usually ends up pretty successful.
All right. Well,
all right.
Good luck to you, Jerry. Yeah. Have a great season.
Yeah, we've been talking to Jerry Ruffalo of Anglers Plus Guide Service. Thanks for calling, Jerry.
Okay. Coming live from Green Bay.
We were just going to get to, who was he?
We had Pete from Waukesha.
Yeah, so if Pete wants to call us back right after this quick break, we'll get to you, Pete. Sorry, Pete, that took a while.
You know how we know Jerry Ruffalo is Troy Woodrow, Woody? They went to high school together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how he knows Jerry.
Know.
Yeah, and Troy was supposed to go fishing with him.
Yeah.
I think it was last year.
Yeah,
and he indulged a little too and never made it up to Green Bay. And guess what Jerry got that day?
That was a big one.
50-plus inch.
Oh, geez.
It would have been Troy's.
All right. We got to go to a quick break, folks.
That right now,
last one of the day.
Troy.
So stay tuned for more with Dan Bush, myself, Tom Neubauer, and the Polish Pipe Bomb is right here with us. But, you know, we enjoy having you come in.
Yeah, it's whenever really you come good, in. Good to see you.
I love your guys' show. Best show on the radio.
Yay!
Yeah, that's what
right.
Bart says.
That's what we like to, like to hear.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
We're leaving ground. Nothing's ever been the same again. It's the final countdown.
The mic is hot for those listeners out there, like if you're in these big league radio stations here, that's what the producer says when you come back from a break. They go, "We're hot," or the mic is hot, right? Or,
well, I wasn't talking about the mics. You know, you get best three looking guys at the station
right.
In the same room.
Big cool BCD, big cool dude. I wish. So, welcome back to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening today, and. We are in our final segment now, so if you have a fishing or hunting report, give a call. One thing, I'll let our listeners know one more time, is the next week is the Three Charlies, I used to call it the Three Chucks, Muskie Invitational, now it's kind of the AKA the John Lehman Memorial. Tournament is dedicated to the memory of our good buddy John. And anyway, it's next week from 7:30 to 3 p.m. Saturday, $150 entry. You could win up to $2,000 if they get a full field. So definitely get on out there and enjoy a beautiful day of fishing out there. It's a fun tournament. Swing by Smokies and see if you can get yourself entered in that, Tom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd love to fish that.
Yeah.
But we got to be here all the time.
Well, that's the thing, you know.
That's the problem.
Got things to do, people to see.
Yeah.
It's tough being in high demand here.
I know. Because I really would like to fish that. I mean, it sounds like such a great outing. Remember that one year, John, he fished it? He didn't come into the show. He fished it. Wasn't at that tournament where he caught a fish within 15 minutes of being out?
Oh, he was with Rick on a pontoon boat.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was
this
one
or
not.
Was that tournament or was it a different
one?
No,
that was an earlier one. I was out as well.
Yeah, he had to call us, right? He had to call the show right away.
I wonder if that was the tournament where you had Sheriff Clark in the studio, which I was all bummed out because I set it up where we got Sheriff Clark in the studio.
Yeah,
and I think
awesome.
Me and John both abandoned you.
Yeah. Well,
and it was you and Sheriff Clark.
It turned out great, though.
Yeah. Oh, you guys did a great job. But I believe the other thing next week, Saturday, Tom, I believe, is opening of pheasant hunting. I believe the season opens next weekend. Check your regulations, but... probably, I think that opens at, is it 9 o'clock or noon?
Noon. Usually it's always noon.
Used to be noon.
Yeah, I always used to be out for that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I used to be, but you know, when I was younger.
Yeah, you're an old
guy. Yeah, when you were fishing.
You're
when
an
we were,
old guy now.
When we
it's
were
tough
hunting
getting old,
those
Tom.
Public lands and that. And
I remember one time it was the, I was bow hunting, and I was up in a tree stand next to a cornfield. There were pheasants running all around me, underneath my stand, everywhere. It must have been some that they had released. Now, Al Shook, our friend Al Shook, he has a membership over at Wern, but he spends this time of year hunting those public lands. And if you can strategically know where to go and when their stockings are, you can have some decent hunting.
Yeah, you can go on the DNR website, and they'll let you know where they're going to be stocking and when they're going to stock and how many they're going to stock, you know. They'll tell you. But the other cool thing is when you go on the website, there's a certain part of it. I forget what it is. But you can find, like, unknown little public hunting areas close by that most guys don't know about unless they go on the DNR site to find these little spots.
Right.
There's some spots right out here in Muskego area, let's say, that hardly any guys hunt them because they don't know about them. And they're public hunting grounds, you know.
You know, pheasants, you know, obviously, a lot of our listeners are our age, Tom, and they remember growing up in the suburbs of either Milwaukee, Green Bay, Appleton, wherever, and they remember being able to walk out in suburban areas and go in a field and have pheasants around, and now it's way down.
It is. Yeah, it's
and
down.
I guess it's loss of habitat primarily.
Loss of habitat, and of course, with more and more predators, like, well, of course, there's
way
always
too
been
many
fox.
Coyotes.
Yeah, there's plenty of fox have always been around. They always take some of them. But the coyotes, there's so many coyotes that are taking those pheasants and the eggs and all that, that, yeah, it's hard for those babies because, you know, they nest on the ground. And so it's easy for the coyotes to find those eggs, you know.
You
so.
Know, speaking of predators, a friend of mine, in fact, Bob, he does our website. He heard a commotion out in his yard the other day, and he looked out, and there was a big red fox. And it was faced off with the possum.
Oh, really?
And the possum was growling and fighting back. And he said he was surprised at how skittish the fox was. In fact, you know, he wasn't just charging right in there going for the takedown. He was kind of like, and it looked like the possum won the standoff.
Possum, if you ever, I've seen possum teeth.
They are scary.
They are some. They're little long ones, and they're sharp as heck. And those things, they could do some damage. And you know, any wild animal, you back them up, they're gonna fight right
start
back.
Snarling and acting.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them. You know.
You know, we were talking pheasants before. You know, I joke about Douglas County up there. Well, you know, my dad grew up on a farm up there in Douglas County, and it's not really corn country up there so much.
No.
It's interesting. They got kind of like this reddish kind of a clay soil, and I don't know if it's not so conducive. They grow a lot of hay up there.
Okay.
That's what I see. But you really don't. Those cornfields kind of end after you get north of Chippewa Falls towards Rice Lake area. All of a sudden, it seems to switch to more of the big Northwoods. But I asked him, I said, Dad, did you ever have pheasants on the farm, you know, growing up? And he said, actually, there's a couple of big petroleum plants right by Superior, and it's a big marshy kind of big field area, and the railroad tracks runs through. He said years ago along that railroad tracks, you could find some pheasants. And he did say that sometimes there was grain from the railroad, from the trains, that might spill onto the tracks, and he thought that maybe that was why maybe there were some pheasants hanging around mm-hmm. that area. Otherwise, it was just too far north.
Yeah.
But now there's turkeys up there, which they never thought the turkeys would go that far north.
Have you ever, we've all seen turkey vultures in the sky, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one on the ground fairly close up, like from our cars?
Well, they're pretty scary looking things.
They are big. Out by my son's place in Muskego, we're sitting there having coffee one morning. We look in the backyard, and there's a couple of turkey vultures, and it's like, oh, my Lord, those things are huge. And then they would stick out their wings. Holy moly. You know, up in the sky, they're like, oh, okay, you don't really know how big they could be. But, man, you see one, you know, 50 feet away from you, it's like, wow, those things are huge. They are big.
It's probably what all those people that talk about what the Mothman and all some of these sightings of these strange winged creatures.
Vultures.
I'm thinking if a guy had a few brews under his belt and a turkey vulture came through at the right angle, you might think that's something other than a turkey vulture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because they're pretty big. Yeah,
scare the crap out of you.
They're interesting. Yeah, and the pheasants, you know, years ago, we used to hunt all different areas. It seemed like any cornfield you go to, you know, that had a tree line and brush line and that, you'd always find pheasants, different areas. And we'd ask for permission at different areas. And we wouldn't go that far, Menominee Falls, Germantown area, you know, Muskego area. And we'd always find people say, yeah, go ahead, take a walk out there, you know. But nowadays, I don't think you see much of that anymore, you know.
No.
We used to hunt down at Bong Recreation Center. That was crazy, though.
Too many people.
Oh, yeah, way too many. Oh, way too many. We had pellets raining on us a couple of times, you know, where we're way out in front of somebody, and then they're shooting at birds coming up, and the pellets, it's like dropping on you like rain, you know.
Is that how it goes?
Something like that.
That sounds more like a turkey.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know how a pellet sound is.
Pellet sounds. That's why you should wear glasses, Tom, when you're out bird hunting.
No, I didn't. Don't.
But you should.
Probably.
You should be wearing a good pair of shooting glasses, or I always like to wear polarized glasses when I'm outside.
I never did.
It's
no.
Many reasons for that. You wear polarized when you're fishing,
of
right?
Of course. Okay. You'll have to. Now, I'm going to make one quick announcement. This is going to help all the hunters and shooters in our listening audience. Sherpers in Hales Corners is getting rid of all their ammunition. Nothing political. It's just that they don't sell a lot of it, okay? So they're getting rid of their ammunition. Are you ready for this? 50% off all ammo. 50% off until it's gone. So that is one heck of a deal.
That's a good deal.
That's an awesome deal.
Everybody's going to be rushing.
All right. Off. Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people are
headed
coming
to
over today. Yeah.
You better get there in direct traffic in the parking lot, Tom.
I'm going to be out.
I got an orange vest you can borrow.
I'm going to be out in the parking lot having a smoke. Okay. That's all I got, Danny. Until next week.
That's all I got. From my home, young. Like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. To all the listeners, thanks for listening, and God bless and stay free, everyone. But tell them if I don't survive. Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll talk to you all next week, my friends.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.